everyone. Hi, Erica.
And we have a special guest, Mr. Abba. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Cousin. So I promise we are not going to man bash. It's not, that's not what we do here. My podcast is all about basically getting people to believe in relationships again. I think society has changed a lot over the last probably 10 years. A lot of people are no longer wanting to get married, no longer wanting to be in long-term relationships, no longer wanting monogamy. And so this podcast is all about getting to the root cause of why people are changing their minds when it comes to relationships. And so today's topic, I want to talk about the gender roles and how important that is in a relationship, and whether or not that is something that people should adhere to, or something that we think is something based on your individual desires and what the dynamic of your relationship is. So I will give my opinion first, and then you guys feel free to chime in. So for me, I feel like a lot of these podcasts that I hear, and I listen to all kinds of podcasts, I educate myself very much so on both the male and female perspectives. I listen to Red Pill, Blue Pill, Purple Pill, however many pills they have, content, just to understand their points of view. And for me, I feel like a lot of the reason why a lot of these guys that have a warped mentality about monogamy and relationships and why it doesn't work is because they feel like the reason why things stop working is because women are no longer stay-at-home moms or no longer stepping into what they consider to be the feminine role, which is to be the submissive, which is nothing wrong with submission. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. They feel like women are too independent and they're doing too many things. And this is why the dynamic is thrown off. My personal opinion is I believe that your relationship, your dynamic is individual. It's not based on what society says. It's based on what works for you and your person. And this is why couples don't make it, because they don't have these conversations in the early phases of dating. You should be talking to your partner about what their expectations are, what their needs are, what their desires are, and they should be doing the same with you. And in the early stages, if you know that you're not on the same page, then you know to cut the ties early from the beginning. The problem is people try to make somebody into what they want them to be rather than accepting people for who they are. And that's where I believe most of the problems come in. Feel free to chime in.
Okay. Abba, you want to go first since you're the guest?
Well, I'll add something to the submissive part. Mm-hmm. So recently, I think somewhere I read it, or I got the idea where both males and females have a ratio of masculinity and femininity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if, let's just say, start with a female. If the female is mainly in a masculine environment, she's lacking the masculinity in her life, she's going to take on the masculine role.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna diminish her feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have the the manly woman. I have no disrespect to them. Mm-hmm. I feel the strength that they're able to acquire is enormous, and I respect that. Okay. For men, it's the opposite. They become more feminine with society in general. Mm-hmm. So what happens now is you see more dominance from women onto men.
Mm-hmm.
That is not natural.
It's supposed to be, exactly.
So what needs to happen, well, I've been thinking about this the past week. A masculine woman needs to experience a more masculine man,
mm-hmm,
to kind of fix her ratio, because his ratio is like, you know, higher masculinity, lower feminine.
Agreed.
And I'll finish my thought right now. That's a very hard thing to do nowadays, but a lot of people are starting to understand that manhood is just destroyed in the last decade or two, or if not more. And we need to rebuild that. We need to understand what a man is supposed to be and do, what his roles are. And once that's accomplished, woman will be a woman the way they're made to be, right? Natural.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. It is so, I don't know when society got this way. I think a lot of it, I can speak from my culture coming from a single parent home with a mother. There's a lot of, unfortunately, Black families where the mothers had to step in and do everything. Yeah. And so when you have to, and I might be myself, I'm a single mom. When you have to step in and play the masculine and the feminine role, it is often very difficult to, because we're both made of masculine and feminine energy. It's just, right, you need to know when to tap into your masculine and when to tap into your feminine. When I'm at work, I'm a leader. I'm a vice president. I can't be submissive in that role. I'm the boss. I have people that are looking to me to make decisions. In business, I'm the boss. At home, I don't want to be the boss. But a lot of people don't know that delicate balance between how to balance your masculine and feminine energy. It's nothing wrong with being masculine. It's nothing wrong with being feminine, but know how to balance, like you said. And I feel like in our society, I'm speaking for Black people, and a lot of us, not everybody's dynamic is that way, but for a lot of us, we were raised by single moms, and our mothers had to do everything. They worked, they provided, they still nurtured, they still went to PTA meetings, they still made sure you had everything done, and they still made sure your food was cooked and your clothes were clean. And so it's very hard to ask. And then we raise children as single moms, and then our children watch us do everything. So in their minds, they're like, well, that's how a woman's supposed to be. We're supposed to be a boss. We're supposed to be the leader. We're supposed to be the head. But not realizing that that level is dysfunctional. That's not the way God intended it. He didn't intend for any one person to do everything. We balance each other out, both male and female. It's a reason why God created us that way, because we balance each other. But people have, unfortunately, because of whatever the family dynamics are, it's gotten destroyed over the years. So we have to consciously build that back up. And recognize when you're stepping too much into your feminine energy as a man, you need to say, wait a minute, I'm a leader. Let me step into my masculine energy. And likewise with a woman, when you're doing too much in your relationship, you shouldn't be, it's okay to submit. Submission means go under the mission of. The problem is a woman can't get under the mission of a man that doesn't know how to be a leader. You can't expect me to submit to a fool. Exactly. So that's the problem. Now, I'm sorry, I'll let Marina talk.
No. I agree with both of you. And what you said in the very beginning, you said that people in the very early stages in their relationships don't really talk. Mm-hmm. Because I think, because, you know, we're Jewish, so culturally, a lot of the things are already spoken for us. So we kind of like, when I was dating my ex-husband, we kind of were like expecting our roles already. We didn't really talk much, which is a mistake on our part. But I already expected him to be a certain way as he expected for me to be a certain way, because that's culture. Our parents have done it. It's supposed to be like that. A man is masculine. The woman is supposed to be submissive. And that kind of, in my opinion, demolishes your true self. Or if I'm trying to find myself and I didn't know myself in the beginning of my marriage, or actually I found myself after. And that was why, because I didn't understand my role, because my role wasn't appreciated as a woman. It was only expected as a, well, this is your role, period. That's it. So conversation is important. Both people have to be very open and forget about everything else. Don't tell me
what society
is saying. I know, even right now, let's say I want to get married to a Jewish person. I'm still going to question, what is your family like? Am I supposed to be afraid of your mentality and how you view life? I'm still going to question that, because that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't want to have a relationship again within my community, because I know we need a lot of healing. We need a lot of openness and open-minded, like, parents, elderly, so that they could just be like, you know what, have your dynamic, get into your own you and him or her and him relationship and figure out what's best for you. Because it's not like we're talking about let's do drugs or let's go and F around and have a threesome. We're talking about how we're going to build our family. So I don't need anybody's opinion on how to build my family, because if it's taking me longer, it's okay. as long as we're working together to get there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel like that's the issue. Society pressures us to be, to fit in these boxes. And I'm not saying, because I am one of those people, I don't care what type of relationship you have. You can have a polyamorous relationship if that's what works for you. You can be two men, two women, whatever works for your dynamic. I'm not your judge. I'm not your jury. I can't tell you how to have your relationship. But what I can tell you as a life coach is the way that you are getting into a relationship, many people fail to have the hard conversations. They're scared to talk about the stuff that needs to be talked about. Because if you talk about it early on, you'll see where you're not compatible with the person pretty early on. And we're not having those deep conversations. We're talking surface, or we're just caught up in the fact that, oh, I like you. Oh, you're sexy. Oh, you're attractive. Oh, I love this about you. I love that about you. And we're not getting to the core of who a person is, which is their heart, which is their soul, which is their spirit. You're talking to a person and only looking at their outer appearance and not looking at their internal. And their internal weighs far more than your external ever will.
Exactly.
And people don't have the hard conversations. So my personal opinion is we've got to do more talking and we've got to be intentional. So even when it comes down to everything, okay, you want me to cook home cooked meals. How many times a week is your expectation of me to cook a home cooked meal for you? If I'm working a job and running two businesses, how many times a week do you want me to cook a home cooked meal for you? That's not to say I won't do it for you, but I need to know what your expectation is. How many times a week do you need to have sex? How many times a day if it's your thing? What is your desire? Let's talk about it. Can I actually meet that standard? If I know I can't meet that standard, then I may not be the one for you. I don't care
how. We can talk about it in our culture. I mean, I don't know how it is these days, but I could not ask my husband, how many times do you want to have sex?
You guys can't on closed doors and talk about it.
I know. We're like, we're supposed to have all that sex and kids and reproduce, but we can't talk about sex, which is so stupid because it's not like we're all, I'm sorry, sluts and whatever.
Yeah.
It's a genuine human nature
it's
thing
a real
to do.
Question
yeah
it's a real question. So if your expectation is to have sex 7 days twice a day,
yeah,
and I don't know that, then I'm gonna be shocked.
let me say one thing here. So if you can't have that conversation, then just be ready when your husband wants it.
Because then
if you're submissive, then you'll take it like that in that direction also.
Yes, exactly. But that's the problem. And it shouldn't be that way. Can you imagine how oppressive that feels? Oh, my husband wants sex now. I could be dog tired or have the flu and got snot coming out of my nose, but he want to have sex, so I got to do it. That's called a prisoner. That's not called submission.
You should have a healthy sex relationship, period.
But and eventually, also remember, of course, you have the conversation.
You can't bypass the conversation. And this is where I know I don't understand that culture because that's not how I was raised. But regardless, that's still allowing people to dictate your dynamic of your relationship. It should be you and him behind closed doors having the conversations. Your family doesn't need to know what you're talking about.
And
your
keep it private.
Sex.
Right.
They shouldn't know anything about what you guys are doing. It's your own personal dynamic that needs to be set. That standard needs to be set. Is it worth it to you to be quiet and be what everybody expects you to be in your community? Or is it more important to you to make your relationship work and be happy? Because you can stay married for 30 years, but that doesn't mean you like each other. That doesn't mean you're happy. I don't want to be with somebody I'm not happy with. I want to wake up every day and be excited about the person that I'm with. I want to enjoy my husband. I don't want to be miserable and have to look at like, oh my God, I got to look at this joker again. Oh, why is he here? I don't want to live like that. Who's living like that? That's not a way to live. That's called existing. I don't want to exist. I want to live.
But what about, like, again, you're talking to Jewish people here. No offense to my community, but our community is so tight-knit when it comes to events and Shabbat dinners, Friday night dinners, and who's going to who and whatever. So I felt like we had so many events to go to. There was no time for sex. And even if we had it, it was like, oh my God, the kids are here. And then it's like, I never had time for us. There was no like me, him time.
Well, I mean, again, I get it. But you know, I'm probably the wrong person to talk to because I'm a bit of a rebel. So I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what anybody thinks about it. But that's just always been my personality. So at the end of the day, I got married, and you know this, I got married at 18 years old. I was still a baby. I didn't even know myself. But I wanted to get married, so I did what the hell I wanted to do. And nobody could tell me that I couldn't. Who was going to tell me I couldn't? I was grown. I had my own job. I had my own car. I had my own apartment. I bought my own furniture. Who's going to tell me I couldn't do it? Nobody. Yeah, sure. Or as I always say, who's going to check me, boo? Nobody. Because I did what I wanted to do. Now, hindsight is 20/20. So I realized at 18, the woman that I was, the young woman that I was back then, is totally different from the woman I became in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s now. So at the end of the day, I did what I wanted to do, and I didn't care what everybody thought. Now, to save face, to understand your culture, I'm not saying just disregard your culture. What I'm saying is, even if you go to all the events, even if you go to all the dinners and you do all the things in front of your family, it's when you and him have downtime, when it's just you and him. But I'm talking about before you even get married. Because honestly, if you're having these conversations, I can guarantee you probably a lot of the people that are married in that culture would not even marry those people, because they would realize back then, we're not even compatible. So how are we going to maintain a long-term relationship? And you are thinking this way, you want to raise our kids this way, and I want to raise our kids that way. We're not even going to be able to meet in the middle. It's the compatibility issue that people are, they're not having the conversations. And therefore you're still caught up in the honeymoon phase of, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you're handsome. Oh, you're wonderful. I like talking to you. I like this, but you're not getting deeper. And then you're stuck because now you have feelings for this person and you feel obligated to marry them because now, you know, you built a relationship with them for 2 years, but you never really had a real honest conversation about what the expectations are. What are the things you need from me? It's not even about just sex. Like, what are your needs? Like, if I was to do this now as a single woman preparing for marriage, I would be like, okay, I need someone that is willing and honest and open with me. I need somebody that's open to communicate. I don't care if it's good, if it's something embarrassing. I don't care if it's terrible. I am the one person that will never judge you. And I want to be that person that you can come to and talk to about anything.
And that's important. And also,
and that's a need for me.
Yes.
If I can't have vulnerability with you, then I can't have a relationship with
without
you.
Without feeling judgmental.
Right. And I'm the most non-judgmental person. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're poly. I don't care what you do. Make your rules for your relationship. Nobody has a right to tell you what your relationship should be like. Period. That's just my opinion.
And also, when it comes to relationships, it's not just, you know, I guess when you want someone to change certain things about you, but because it's bothering me in you, would it be okay for you to change just a little bit, just so that I could feel comfortable being around you? Because certain things, you know how everybody has certain principles, mm-hmm. right? So let's say like in pub, let's say I have a boyfriend who has like a lot of tattoos. You can't have that in my community. So like, if I could have you, because I love you and I respect you, but can you just hide it a little bit so that nobody-
You cover it up?
Yeah, just a little bit, right? Just so that nobody could see it. Would that be something that's okay to ask?
You know, I believe in compromise. I believe every relationship requires some level of compromise, but you've got to be careful when you're asking a person to change who they authentically are to suit your needs. That's not fair. That's selfish. But and because honestly, at the end of the day, listen, a person's never going to be able to not. So you can only be pretend to be or put up a mask, but for so long, eventually the real you is going to come out. So you're talking down the line, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, the real. So if Abba was a person that likes to party every week, and because of you not liking to party and that bothered you, he suppressed that part of himself. Eventually he's going to resent you, and then he's going to go and do what he wanted to do because you're suppressing who he really is. I'm just giving that example.
Abba, are you a party man? What do I do now? How come? Well, I don't know this.
You know, I don't know if women know this, but there's a phrase or a statement. Once a woman changes her man, she doesn't want him.
Exactly. So why would you, what made you, if I fell in love with you for who you are,
fell in love for, exactly. Why am I trying no to, need to change
what I want you to be? I, as a part of loving you, is loving all of you. Loving your good parts, loving your flaws, loving your bad parts. I may not like everything you do. We're nobody's going to like everything about anybody. There are going to be things that's going to irritate me. There's going to be things that get on my nerves about you. I might not like the way you shave your hair. But you know what? I'm not going to tell you to change that because that's who you are. So it's certain things that you accept about a person that you love. That's true love. Love is when I can take all the good and the bad parts of you and still love you regardless, unconditionally. I'm not loving you when you please me the way I want you to please me. I'm loving you even when you don't please me the way I want you to please me, but I choose to still love that part of you. Now, compromise is saying, okay, I'm using a clubbing example. That is not, guys, I'm not saying I don't even know whether he parties or not, okay? The compromise in that would be, okay, all right, I know you like to hang out with your friends. I know you like to hang out with the fellas. So how about we do this? Instead of you going out every Friday night, can you go out every other Friday night? That's a compromise. That's not me changing you, but that's me asking you to consider my feelings and consider what's important to me. And I'm still allowing you to be who you authentically are.
Right.
That's the difference. Does that make sense? Now, both of you are quiet.
Ah, but what's bothering you? You're like, damn it. Well,
not every man is gonna agree. In a sense, you're right. The compromise is what helps to overcome the differences once you're together. What I would say is there is still a change that happens that a man has to be okay with. Mm-hmm. Not every man wants to change. Even if he does change, it's not, you know, I think it would be out of love if you think about it.
It would be out of feeling obligated, like out of obligation.
Right. And then that leads to further issues. Mm-hmm. Well, back to the point we were talking about. If the man is understanding, and if he can, he'll compromise. Mm-hmm. Because like a lot of men have their discipline, not discipline, they're principled to the point where, no, it has to go my way or the highway.
That's ego. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So everyone has egos, and it's just a matter of the extent everybody has worked on their egos.
Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. I mean, I agree. But I think you can't, I mean, if you're not in the mental space to even consider somebody else's feelings or what their needs and desires are, then you're not even ready for a relationship. So let's talk about that. Because a relationship is going to be compromised, because you're not going to be the same on everything. You're not going to think the same in every area. There is going to have to be some compromise. But this is where the vital conversations come in. Because if you have these conversations in the very beginning, you're going to realize and recognize early on what things are things you can compromise with and what things are just non-negotiable. And once you figure out what the non-negotiables are, then you're able to navigate through that situation. Because if it's just too much of a difference, like that person's basically a all the way homebody and never likes to go anywhere, and you're an outgoing person that likes to go somewhere every weekend, that's going to be a very unbalanced type of situation. Somebody's going to feel uncomfortable. Like extremely, because it's innately who they are. So if I'm innately a introvert and I'm a homebody and I don't like being around people, and I'm marrying an extrovert, while I think there are things that an introvert can learn from an extrovert and an extrovert can learn from an introvert, if you're not in that place and that mental space of being willing to open up and try something outside of your comfort zone, then you're just not ready for a relationship. And let's just call a spade, in my opinion.
I feel like it's a little bit easier for me and Erica because we've been married and happily divorced, and divorce was not a choice. Like, it wasn't something we came in to get married. Oh, we're going to get a divorce finally. It just happened because it was the right thing to do. But for people who have never been married, there's so many questions, because you're starting a stage that we have been in for a while. So like for us to be in a relationship now, it's so much easier now because I found myself. People who have never been married, to me personally, good luck, because it's a lot. It's a lot that goes in, because when you're dating, it's different. When you're married, it's a whole different ballgame. And when you have kids, good luck. Because if you're not both on the same page, if you both are not going to be like involved in raising kids, it's going to take a toll on mentally, physically, your whole life, financially, spiritually, you know, and you don't want one person to be more with the other, you know, with kids. And it's very, very hard, because I think marriage is about to help one person, well, both people grow and then raise little people to become someone important. Marriage is not about, but my mother wants this, or the culture wants this, or expect. I personally now could give, and I'm sorry, could give two shits about the culture or the religion. And I have nothing against being a Jew. I have nothing against the family or religion. That's my son tripping. But I don't mind the work that comes with it. I don't mind at all. But it's it's difficult. It's difficult.
Well, I will say this. Speaking from a Christian perspective, growing up as a Christian woman, still a very much so Christian woman, but I'm just not a religious person. I'm definitely a person that has a relationship with God. Our scripture tells us to leave our mother and our father and cleave to our spouse. Okay. Well, he tells the man that, to leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife. That's what it says specifically. It is very important to get the family needs to be out of your marriage. I don't care what culture you come from. When you start having too many people on the inside of your relationship is going to fail, because if they're putting their opinions, their experiences, their belief systems into you and trying to make you think a certain way, and your relationship and your personalities are totally different from theirs. They don't need to have a say in what goes on in your household. Your mama should not be telling you how much you should cook for your husband. Your mom should not be telling you how you should raise your children. Your mom should not be telling you how you should have sex with your husband. That is just not normal.
That's too much. If somebody's doing that, that's too
it's
much.
Too much. And I just feel like, you know, it's a certain, as adults, when we step out, I know your culture is different. So in my culture, when you get older, when you get to be, you know, 18 is considered grown. In my mind, that's not really grown, but you're eventually supposed to step out and be on your own and start to live your own life and experience your life for yourself. It's such an important step, because when you don't do that and you're still up under your parents, it's kind of like you stunt your growth. There are things that you will never understand until you get on your own that you will never experience while you're under your parents' roof. Or you'll never experience while you're under their care and under their advice. You need to get to the place where you have some level of independence. And then you think about, now I want to get married. This is what I want. So it's not them constructing a viewpoint or building a house of what your life should look like. It's you building your own vision for your own life and for your relationship. And that goes with everything. That goes with career, that goes with your relationship, that goes with how you raise your children. In my opinion, nobody should be able to tell you how to live your life. My job as a parent, and my oldest daughter is 23, my job as a mother is to teach her how to be a respectable, honorable member of society, and prayerfully learn and understand her purpose and why God put her on this earth. That is my job. Once I have done that job, she's 23. I've raised you already. I don't have any say about who you date, who you love, all the things. I'm going to give you my advice when I feel like you're going down a wrong path, but I am not going to control your life. I've already done my job. My job was to teach you. Now, what you choose to do with the things that I taught you is really your choice. And we all have to answer to God for our own actions and our own lifestyles. So nobody should be sitting there it's not a dictatorship. And I feel like that's where parents have to learn how to stop being so dang on controlling and let their children learn to build their own lives and make their own identity. It is, you do your children a big disservice when all you do is dictate to them what kind of career they have to have, who they have to become, what kind of person they have to marry, what kind of house they have to live in.
That's the worst. First of all, as a mom, I want to see that I did a great job with my kids. I will take care of them, but I'm not getting involved.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I want to see what I have done. And if I'm still raising you, that's a problem, because I'm either probably codependent, because I want my kids to grow up. And I told my kids, first find yourself and then get married. Don't get married and then find yourself, unless your partner is the right one.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people don't do. We get married looking for a person to fill a void in us and not realize you have to become whole as an individual first. And then you're ready to share your life with somebody. If you don't even know who you are, how are you going to share your life with somebody else? You don't even know you.
Unless, you know how they have relationships where you like meet someone, you know, high school sweetheart, you've been dating for a while, you know each other, you've been through hard times together. That's okay. But when you don't know, I didn't know my husband when we got married. And not to say I'm trashing him. I wish him all the best. I hope he's married, whatever the case is. But we did not know ourselves as individuals, and we didn't know how we are together as a partner, as partners. It was very deep. We just like, okay, we got the basics. We got married. Let's have kids. Then we'll make enough money to buy a house. That's stupid basics. What about in between? Nobody cares.
And that's, but I will even say, with high school sweethearts, it's still dangerous, especially if that's the only person you've ever dated. Mm-hmm. Because what you like at 18 or 16 or 15 is going to be totally different from who you like at 25. Who you like at 30, who you like at 40. You don't even know yourself at 20, at 18.
Prenup to all agreement. If I stop loving you.
I'm here for a prenup. I'm all for prenups.
There are types of people who are able to be together from a young age and just connect.
Just be okay. Yeah. It's about connection.
If they connect and they just grow and grow like a tall canola tree. Together. A sequoia tree, if you have ever seen them, they're huge, like 100 feet wide, and you're just growing. I think it's possible to live with that person from, you know, high school sweethearts until 65, and that's rare, because it's not easy to find such connection.
It's the exception, not the rule. Nowadays. It's the exception, not the rule, at least from my experience. What I will say is, it still does not, they were willing to grow together. And that's the key. Most people are not. Most people are so busy trying to battle each other and get them to become what they want the other person to be. Exactly. I need you to be this. I need you to do that. I need to be able to love you and accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. So when I tell somebody that I love them with their good parts, with their bad parts, with the parts that even get on my dang old nerves. I still love you. Who you are. I'm not trying to change you being the person that you are.
I wanted to add. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Those two words are very dangerous. When the two partners to each other say, I need. Because that's already from a commanding tone of voice. And that shows you're not in unity. You're just against each other. Because if you're saying, I need, you're expecting the other person to do something that you're
feel that for you.
Right. But, you know, there's a better way to approach that dynamic. You could just, you know, be like, you know, I think we're in this position, yada, yada. Why don't we do it a certain other way? Like, bring your point across and then wait for him to reply, or vice versa.
I agree. I definitely feel like I'm a little bit partial to that, because I do believe that there are certain things that you need in order to be successful in, like, from the other person. Like, I need you to be, not to be a liar. Like, if you're a liar, I'm not going to be able to date you. So if I find that you're a person that lies all the time, I can't. That is like the biggest issue that I have with a person, is if you're a liar. So that is something that is important to me. Like, I'm not going to be, literally, I can't be with a person that's a liar, because I can't trust you. And trust is a foundation point for me. However, a better way to say it would be, my desire from you is that you do this way. This is something that is important to me. I value this. And I desire that you work on this area. Because 100%. We all have stuff to work on. we all have things we got to, you know, work on and become better at. So,
but that's a beautiful thing too, because when you're working on each other, like I, like if I'm in a relationship, we always put, you know, helping each other grow. And I like that, because if he's going to say, I love you just the way you are, stay. No, I want you to tell me, let's work on this together. Let's do this together. Cause we tell this to each other. Don't be stuck in one, but you know, one spot. I like to evolve. Yeah. And that's beautiful, because that's also a challenge, because I want to see how much of a better version of me I can become tomorrow. You know, not just be like, okay, I think I've accomplished a lot. Like I said, now I could be in relationships and not be afraid of who I am, not be afraid to stand up for myself, because I was not doing that before. I was just sucking up a lot of toxicity and eventually just exploded. That's very dangerous, because you're thinking and waiting and hoping that the other person is going to finally come through and understand you, but that never happens. That's right. Where everything falls apart. It crumbles on you, and it's very dangerous, because your mental health is no longer the same. So when people are like, well, you know, someone once, like, part of my marriage, a person from another family would say, well, this is how we live. And I had to just be like, okay with it. And I'm not okay with it, because I grew up a certain way. You grew up a certain way. The person you're with is a certain way. And if you're not compromising for each other, everybody else is getting involved. Then why, first of all, don't even get married, save your sanity. But if you are, get everybody out of the way, including the parents.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of not having other people in your relationships. I don't even talk to my best friend about my relationship problems. That's between me and him. That's something that him and I have to work through. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't get advice when I need to have advice from a third party, but I don't like involving people in my relationship. I just don't. And if we need to talk to somebody, we can go to therapy together and have a person that is a therapist, that is a completely neutral party, to help us navigate through whatever those issues are. I'm a fan of therapy. I believe that every couple should have therapy.
Absolutely.
Before, during, and after.
Yep. Abba, would you agree?
Marriage, during marriage, and
hopefully,
after.
Hopefully there's no after.
And hopefully no after.
And hopefully the therapist is not going to need therapy from us.
But they signed up for that, so I don't feel sorry for them.
No, neither do I. It won't matter.
You signed up for our dysfunction. You're welcome.
Yeah, but Abba, what do you think about prenuptial agreement?
I am totally for it. You know, I think more men would be for it, but it's something that has to be spoken about in the relationship. Well, yeah, before marriage, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a very important topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it may be crucial for the man, God forbid, the future divorce. Mm-hmm. In the long run, yes.
And then the kids, so, when the kids are involved, yeah.
The kids, if kids are involved, it's even worse.
Yeah. A woman needs to understand that there are benefits to a prenup for her as well.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You look at me, like, in my situation, I have a, you know, top-level job, and I have 3 businesses that I run. I have a lot to lose financially. Mm-hmm. With a man in my life. So you're not going to just come in and be able to take half of everything that I've worked my butt off for before I even met you. You're not entitled to that. Now, what we build together, I'm 100% with splitting that in the middle. Whatever we've had since we got together, we can split that in half 100%. But understand this, prenuptial agreements are for your protection. I am here for a prenup. I will never marry a person without a prenup. Not ever again.
Yep.
I have too much to lose. Not just financially, but I need equity. I need equity. I need fairness. And when your emotions are involved, and if you get a divorce, God forbid, you know, your emotions are involved, you know, you're angry, and you do a lot of stupid stuff when you're angry.
Oh, yeah.
Your prenup protects you. It protects you from being emotional, you know, being overly emotional, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. And I also feel like when it comes to, you need to have conversations. If you do have a divorce, let's talk about custody, because, you know, you hear a lot of men talk about how they lose after divorce, but what they don't see is you still have your freedom. You still have your life. Most of the time, 90% of the time, the women are stuck with the children, meaning everything that you do is centered around those kids. Your job schedule has to be centered around those kids and their school schedules. Your social life, you don't have one outside of their schedules. Your everything you do in life is surrounded by their life. So your life now is so intertwined. And so when I hear men talk about, oh, well, they take me for half, I'm like, well, at least you got your freedom. I will pay a child support check in a heartbeat to have my life.
Yep.
I got to pay you money? Okay. So I can have my life, but I can give you money? Okay. I'll give you money.
Yeah, because we're doing the hard work. And at the end of the day, we're still wrong. And we're still not doing, you know, it's like
it's,
I said.
It's a very sore topic for me because I hear, I'm sorry, I have to unbuckle my shoe, guys. I hear a lot of men talk about it on social media. And I just sit there and shake my head because I can talk about my personal experience. And every divorced woman I know is the one that has primary custody of those kids. And I'm going to tell you right now, she has lost jobs because she couldn't be to work because the kids were sick. She has had, you know, different situations that happened to her. She can't date. You don't have, the men get to pick the kids up every other weekend and they get to live their lives like single men.
If they pick up the kids.
Our whole life is centered around our children. And not everybody, there are exceptions to the rule. But I'm just saying, systemically, this is how it works. Men are complaining about how much money that, all I have to do is write a check and I get to still do everything. Now, sign me up. No, and I'm just saying that as a person that has been a single mom, and I know what that dynamic looks like. You know, I mean, I take care of my kids 100% by myself and have for many years. My kids are 23, 14, well, he's about to be 15 and 13. And I've done everything for them myself. I could care less about my ex-husband. I forget that he even exists. And not because I'm saying that in a negative way. It's just, I've just done whatever I had to do. So if I had to work four jobs, I worked four jobs to provide. I had to do what I had to do. I don't sit and complain about it. I didn't ask him for a dime. I did what I had to do. I don't care about his money. His relationship with his kids is his choice. It's not my job to build your relationship with your kids. My job is to build my relationship with my kids. So I when I hear that, it just triggers me like nobody's business because I'm like, oh, they're gonna be scaring me.
No.
Go ahead.
No. Listen, what it comes down to, I mean, I know how you are as a person, minus the cousin part, right? I know you care and I know you give 100%, generally speaking, but it could be that you're the good guy and she's the bad person. God forbid.
Of course.
So I know some of my friends who won the custody to have their children. So 90%, it's mostly women, but doesn't mean that the good guy doesn't,
get burned in the process. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So in our community, from my experience right now, and I've just heat, the lights, they don't have any lights or heat at home. And he just wants to throw her away and take all the kids away. And I'm like, honestly, I would sue, but you can't do that in our community. So as a Jewish religious woman who is supposed to be protected by our superiors, she was basically thrown out and lucky enough to still have a roof over her head. She's like, I have no job. I have no money. I have no car and I'm stuck at home. And this is what I'm saying. If you can't rely on your own people who are supposed to be there to protect you, it goes back to the same society's BS. It's a man's world. Women don't have anything. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's either the good guy or women in general. Get the prenuptial agreement because you never know what's going to happen. It doesn't have to be a war. It has to be, listen, love, I fell out of love and let's go our separate ways. It's okay. But you need to have some type of insurance, you could say.
Yeah, it's a protection mechanism. So Abba, I'm interested to hear your feedback on that one.
Like, I hate all of you. I didn't sign up for this.
So I think, let me just put it together. When you have a base of no such thing as divorce, it's hella harder. But your perspective on the issue between the two of you switches to how in the blue hell are we going to fix this?
You fight.
Focus on the fixing, right? You start fighting to fix it. But if you're looking at the direction, just whatever, let's just divorce. This is not going to fix anything, whatever. You're just giving up. It's just, mm-hmm. you can also think about it as another test from God, mm-hmm. from source, from above.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get out of this situation once you have tied your life with this individual?
Mm-hmm. But if you love each other, it's worth the fight. But if
yeah, absolutely.
Love,
correct.
That's the correct. Problem. People don't that's- fight anymore. They just give up. They don't. They when in my marriage, in my situation, I fought for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
7 years, and I watched this man cheat on me with this woman that he married 10 days after he divorced me. 7 years I tried. 7 years. So it's not like, you know, you just give up, and but eventually you have to realize that behavior is not going to change. Now I'm putting my life at risk. I don't know what else he's doing out there. You know, I had to do it. I had to do what I had to do. Second husband was abusive. I'm not staying in a situation where my life is at risk. I'm not going to do it. Because either I'm going to shoot you and I'll be in jail and our kids will be in foster care, or you could kill me. So why am I staying in that situation? My situations were extremes. However, that's not to negate the fact. And I love that you brought that point up, Abba, because that's what people don't do. They don't fight. They don't even fight for relationships, let alone a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, it's a commitment that you make before God. So it's not just something easily that you just should get into without taking any thought. That's a commitment before God first and then to each other.
But I think having a prenuptial agreement will kind of get you both from the very beginning that we're doing it out of respect to each other, because you mm-hmm. never know. Because I've heard relationships where the girl got married to this guy, also another Jewish couple, and I apologize, I'm not saying the names, but after that she found out that he was mentally ill and the mother of the guy did not say it, so he was drinking pills because he was like bipolar. That's dangerous because nobody knew. And I personally do not know the couple, but I heard a lot about the couple. So I'm saying, like, prenuptial agreement when it comes to unexpected things are important. What if we fall out of love, or what if we no longer love, or what if something, whatever the case is. You know,
yeah, it doesn't mean that you're
going to protect you, but I'm still going to fight for my marriage and my man and my family, regardless of the prenuptial agreement.
Right.
Because it's I didn't get married to get a divorce.
Yeah, it's not a get out of jail free card. It doesn't mean, okay, I don't like you today, I'm done. We got a prenup, we're good.
Remember that paper we signed? That's not how it works. You're going to fight because you have kids.
You know, it's not, you know, it's still a commitment before God, and you should take it. You don't, that's why you don't get married just because society says get married. You get married because it's what you desire. It's what you feel is right for you at that time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And things can change. None of us know what the future holds. The person you are today may not be the person you are in 5 years. The person that you fell in love with today may not be the same person that you thought you knew. That's why you need to have the conversations. This is why if we do this very early when we meet people, before we even get to the point of committing to them in a relationship. Because the whole purpose of a relationship is to build that level of understanding each other, vulnerability with each other, so that you eventually can get to the place of marriage. So if you realize from the very beginning when you meet that person, if that person is not on the same page with you, then you don't even need to continue to even have a committed relationship with this person. Why are you there?
Right, because like I said, marriage is supposed to be a place where you both learn a lot from each other and help each other grow. Because you're not here just to be a wife, or unless that's what you want, or just to be the provider as a father and to play with your kids on Friday nights or whatever the case is. You have to find your true self and find who you are as a couple. You know, mm-hmm. do something.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Something.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think this was a great topic. Is there anything that you want to share, Abba, before we go? And thank you for doing this.
This is going to sound very controversial. So deep inside, and I recently went through something. I don't know if I would share much of that, but the overall part of it is I still feel like there's a chance of divorced couples with kids to get back together.
Hmm. Interesting. That would never happen in my life.
You know what? No, I'm not saying everyone.
Either.
I'm not saying everyone is able to do it, but there is chances that it's possible. Correct. That's one major aspect of it. And secondly,
there's work in it.
Right. And there's also a matter of people growing up. Because especially nowadays, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds still acting like kids.
That's true.
People do grow up even after a bad divorce, let's say. They grow, they develop, they fill their voids certain ways as well, and they become better people. Is there a way to give back? It's very possible.
Yeah.
It is definitely possible.
Unless two reasons. Abusive, physically, mentally, verbally, and cheating. I think that's like the worst case.
Yes.
Everything else, I think, is resolvable.
I agree. I agree to an extent. I don't actually think that's that controversial. I agree with you. I would never deal with either one of my exes, but my situations were the two extremes, you know?
Right, so, yeah.
I know for myself personally, just the way I'm wired, I give people a lot of chance, but when I'm done, I am absolutely done. Like, there is no coming back. And that's with boyfriends, that's with ex-husbands, and that's with friends. When you show me who you are and I've given you all the grace that I can give you and you still didn't change your behavior, you could stand in front of me butt naked and I would be like, ew, please put your clothes on. That's how serious I am.
There's another category besides the cheating and abuse. There's also a person that's either like, I'm a go-getter and my ex-husband was not. Maybe he was a go-getter in his own little world, but for me, I felt like it wasn't enough to bring the family where we needed to be at. So that to me is a no-no, because it's not like I'm expecting you to be a millionaire, but I want you to do a lot more than whatever you're doing. So to me, I felt like we were so behind because everything was put on my shoulders, but portrayed differently as if he's doing everything. And not to say I'm trashing my ex relationship, I'm just bringing out a concept of, in my culture, majority of the men rely on the woman also. It's a woman's fault if he's not a provider. It's a woman's fault if he's not a great guy. It's a woman's fault. And that's actually, my Muslim girlfriends are saying the same thing. It's the culture. The man is the king in the house, but you can't be a king if you're treating me like yesterday's trash. And I'm saying a general statement right now. Mm-hmm. I need to see something that I could be as a woman at home and not feel like I have to be a man.
Well, it goes back to that feminine and masculine energy that Abba was talking
about. Yes, I was about to say it.
He's not in his role. He's not in his role.
Exactly. He's not. You see, the man is damaged. Therefore, the woman follow. Mm-hmm. So, woman.
Yeah, you can't. Like I said, I can't submit to a fool. Because submission means to get under the mission of. To go under the mission of somebody, you have to have a mission. And your mission can't be crazy. So as a woman, if he's operating out of feminine energy instead of standing up and being the leader, then how can a woman follow? A woman can't follow. You're not giving me something to submit to.
Like I said, I want to be submissive, but to who? To what? The concept is just like, I can't. So now I'm fighting against energies. Do I have to be the man and you have to be who you are? I can't.
To be anybody but me. He needs to be him. And him being him is to be the leader.
Right.
Give me somebody to look up to respect. Because most women don't want. Do you think I want to work as hard as I do? And Marina will tell you, I work harder than almost anybody I know. I grind. And I'm not afraid
to grind. Girl, get up.
But you know, that's your masculine.
Yeah, but that's why I told you.
She's in her work mode. But she's still a woman, though. Like, she's in her, when she's grinding, she's grinding.
Right.
I can't be, what do we need to do? No, they're like, okay, you're in this board meeting. Okay, what's the decision that we need to make for this team?
Yeah.
So I have to be in my masculine energy at work. When I come home, I'm not trying to be a leader. I've been a leader all day. I'm tired.
you put on your little sexy outfit and clean up while you're at it. And that, is there anything on TV besides dance? I'm just saying, can I do you know, this, that's what we want to do.
Baby. You know,
exactly. You know,
and I really am that way. Like Marina will tell you, I am probably one of the most feminine women you would ever want to meet. But when I'm at work, when I'm in business, I'm a boss because I have to be.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't be passive in my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's sexy.
Resources. I'm the person that fires people.
Right. Imagine you tell your husband you're fired. Oh man, God damn it, I'm home.
My bad. I'm
my
sorry.
Apology. I'm just gonna go and change my outfits. But that's how I want the marriage to be regardless, because even if it's within the culture to speak your own language and to be part of your religion, it has to be like that. It has to be like, I don't want to know anything about anything from our community. I just want to be your little, whatever you want me to be at home, your wife, the mother of your kids and whatever, because I have to be strong from as a woman outside. And when I come home, I don't have to, I don't want to be, I choose not to be.
I put that hat down. And a lot of people are not mature enough to know how to do that. It's a delicate balance. We are both made of masculine and feminine energy. And there's a time and a place for your masculine. There's a time and a place for your feminine. And you need to know when it's appropriate for either role. And that's
also don't be afraid to be submissive or be, because a lot of, well, I heard a lot of men from my community. Okay, I'm going to say a couple of men from the community that I personally spoken to before. They would always say that phrase, you know, if I'm going to allow you to do certain things as a woman or ask me something and I'll do it, that's like, I'm not a man anymore. It's like, now you're controlling me.
Now, that is the most
bullshit, mama's boy shit to say.
That's not masculinity. That's false masculinity.
Masculinity, that's a slap in the face.
You're a real man. And I, you know, my boo is a masculine man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to walk in the room and say, I'm the man and beat his chest. You walk in the room and
you're the present. Energy.
Yep. Lets me know that you're the man. And I immediately get under that. I don't have to. You don't have to announce your rulership.
100%.
You don't have to. I'm the man. Nobody gives a fuck.
I know you're the man and I respect it. I don't have to. You don't have to beat your chest.
When you have to state your status.
Yes.
You don't have it.
You don't have it.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
That's half of our community. You have to respect me. You have to earn it.
No, you're
you have to be it.
He needs to stop being a woman.
You have to be it and just act it. That's it. Well, not act, but yeah, be it.
Be it. Be who you are physically.
Don't expect your wife to be the feminine and you're just going to be. You have to be the masculine. You have to be the man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ooh, this is good stuff. This is stuff
that didn't even get.
I know we haven't scratched the surface, but this is the stuff that I wish more people would have the conversations, because I feel like most of the people that are online speaking, they're speaking from a place of hurt and from brokenness. And they're not talking from a place of genuinely wanting to understand. People listen to have a rebuttal. They don't listen to learn or listen to understand. I listen to understand. It's important because males and females, men and women are different. And God created us that way for a reason. We balance each other. But instead of us understanding that beautiful, delicate balance, we're busy fighting each other.
And enjoying life together.
Instead of doing what's innately in us, we're innately built and wired to complement each other. And people are fighting it. And this is why relationships are failing. So this is good conversation. Thank you, Abba, for taking time to do this with us. You don't even
last minute, by the way. Thank you. Yo, get on a call, man.
Put me in my car.
I gave him no option.
Hopefully, you enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad experience.
Indeed, I did.
Yes. Well, good. It was nice meeting you. But guys, this is another episode of Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Wait, turning it off.